Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Clean Science and Technology Limited Q2 FY23 results conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Periwal.
Yeah. Thank you, Tanvi. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Clean Science and Technology Limited Q2 and H1 FY23 post-result earnings call. The call will be initiated with a brief management discussion on the quarterly performance, followed by an interactive Q&A session. Management team will be represented by Mr. Siddharth Sikchi, Promoter and Executive Director, and Mr. Pratik Bora, Chief Financial Officer. Over to you, Siddharth, for your initial comments.
Thanks, Ankur. Thanks a lot. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for taking time out to understand our results. I am very happy to inform you all that on September 26th, we have conducted Bhoomi Pujan for our new 34-acre land parcel, which will be housed in our subsidiary, Clean Fino-Chem Limited. With around 300 people already working at this site, the construction activity has started fully, and hopefully we'll commercialize the first phase of plants by December 2023. For this first phase, we are anticipating an investment of about 300-odd crores, which will be all made through our internal accruals. Also, we had earlier communicated that our facilities for HAL 701 and 770 in Unit 3 will begin in H2 FY23, and I'm happy to share that all facilities are near to completion, and we expect to start commercial production by November end, so about a month's time from now. Let me give you a little financial highlights. Our revenue growth has continued as all our geographies and segments reported healthy growth. Revenues from Q2 FY23 was 248 crores, which is an increase of 62% as compared to Q2 FY22. Exports revenue grew 63% and domestic revenues grew 57% on YOY basis. Revenues mix was 75% export and 25% domestic, as it always had been. The key raw materials, energy and fuel costs continue to remain volatile and a mixed bag because of prices of some of the raw materials are still marginally reduced, while prices of some are still at peak. Input prices are still higher compared to last year. Despite of that, our EBITDA increased to 98 crores as against 69 crores as an increase of 42% on YOY basis. Margins were impacted largely due to continued inflationary pressures across raw material, power and fuel costs. The profit before tax is at 92 crores and PAT at 68 crores, which grew by 29% and 28% respectively as compared to Q2 FY22. Balance sheet, of course, continues to be debt-free with a cash balance of about 235 odd crores. Our capacity utilization has improved, due to which our net fixed asset turnover reached approximately 3x compared to 2.3 in March 2022. This has resulted in improved return ratios, particularly ROCEs. For H1 FY23 versus H1 FY22, sales improvement was led by combination of good volume growth and improved realizations across all segments. For H1 FY23, performance chemicals, pharma, agro and FMCG chemicals contributed 67%, 20% and 11% respectively to revenues. On CapEx, we have incurred a CapEx of 62 crores during H1 FY23, with majority of this going towards our new plants for HALS in Unit 3. We have made further investment in our subsidiary, Clean Fino-Chem, of about 65 crores during H1 FY23. ESG is one of the most prominent factors of this company, and we as a company are fully committed to sustainability and continuously implement several initiatives across the organization. In line with our commitment, we have purchased additional land for setting up an open access solar plant of 5 megawatt capacity. It is expected to be operational by end of this fiscal. Currently, approximately 55% of our electrical energy consumption is from renewable sources. We strongly follow the 3R process: reduce, recycle, reuse. We are continuously upgrading our facilities and investing in various technologies across our manufacturing units that are energy efficient and help in resource recycling. Our initiatives on constantly optimizing plant processes has helped us significantly reduce water consumption and emissions. Under CSR, our core focus areas still remain as education, environment, sustainability, and healthcare. Our initiatives have significantly benefited and uplifted the surrounding communities. A basic outlook: macro concerns like geopolitical tensions, elevated power and fuel prices still continue to remain on a short-term as a short-term challenge. But with our new sites, new series of products, strong R&D pipeline, we will continue to focus on diversifying our product portfolio and geographical presence while simultaneously improving yields and operational efficiencies. Thank you so much from this from my side, and we can open now for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. The first question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, Siddhar. Thank you. Thanks for taking this question. Couple from my side, couple of them. First, on the Hall series, now that we are very close to start the commercial production, can you help us understand what is the competitive advantage that we have built in this business, like we have in MEHQ in terms of our innovative production process? We are fully backward integrated. Similarly, can you help us understand what is the winning mantra for us in Hall series?
Absolutely. So, Sangesh, thank you so much for your question. The first is, so we are like MEHQ and Guaiacol, we are fully backward integrated in the manufacturing of HALS. We will be one of the very few companies which will be starting from the basic raw materials, which is acetone and ammonia. All the catalyst which is needed for these processes will be developed totally in-house. And this Unit 3 will be the first time when these series will be introduced in India. One of the very big advantages, of course, with dollar inching towards 83 types, this HALS 770 is majorly imported into India. Majorly, the players are BASF, Sequan in China, SI Group in Europe. And with dollar becoming 83, it will be more attractive for buyers within India to buy from us. And of course, for buyers also who are importing these products have to pay an additional 8% custom duty, which in our case will also be an additional advantage to us.
Siddharth, I got the process point, but I don't think I agree with you on currency, because if it is coming from China, China has depreciated, yen has depreciated more than India.
Right.
That way, I don't think we have that advantage. You may revisit at that, but that's my limited point on that. But I got your point that we are fully backward integrated, plus we are having a unique... is this process unique for us, like what we do in MEHQ and Guaiacol?
No. So, see, typically the HAL series is derived out of two main raw materials, which are called triacetonamine and tetramethylpiperidinol. These two raw materials have to be made from acetone and ammonia. However, so basically this is a triphasic reaction where we have developed a very unique process and a catalyst which is very unique. Our yields and efficiencies are, I think, are quite competent. But of course, I would not understand what Chinese or BASF has at the moment. But looking at the prices, I think our process and yields are quite unique. And of course, as and when the plant commercializes and as and when we move on, there will be further optimization of our process like we have done with MEHQ and Guaiacol. Sangesh, as you already know, that MEHQ and Guaiacol also was not a day one highly profitable product. You know, you cannot start with a 50% margin product at any given point of time. These margins built up happen over the period of time. However, in MEHQ and Guaiacol, we were late because we started the production of raw material like anisole later on, and then we started getting into forward and backward integration. But in HALS, because of our understanding, we have starting with the key raw materials, I mean, with acetone and ammonia day one. And you should also understand that, you know, nobody in India has been able to ever been successful in this chemistry, and we were the first ones to get into this zone.
Fantastic, fantastic. I think I'm more than clear on this. Great, Siddharth. Second, on the margin side, I thought phenol prices have corrected quite a bit, and that is still not reflecting in our margin. Is that we were carrying inventory, there were some inventory losses. Is there anything unusual here and that we should see in the margin? Because we are still at 39% margin. When we started, it was upwards of 50%. One, I understand that there is a increase in the top line because of the inflation, so that optically reduces the margin. Can you help us understand on like-to-like basis, how far are we from the previous high margins?
See, now what happens is, Sangesh, is that, of course, if you compare the COVID year, see, that was one of the very unique years, which we should not really take into consideration, because those were the times when phenol was one-fourth of or one-third of what it is today. Phenol is still at about 100-110 rupees, which otherwise phenol on a regular basis is about a 70-80 rupees kilo product. However, during COVID times, phenol had fallen to as low as 40 rupees. But my contracts were continuing even in COVID years. So that COVID year is a very unusual year, which we should not really take into consideration. However, what is also happening is, as we are growing our new lines, as we are expanding our foraying into newer products, so there is not super margins to begin with in these products like TBHQ, parabenzoquinone. So in this cases, or in these new products like DCC also, we have to, you know, be aligned to our customers, giving them service and giving them the most competitive price for us to first enter into these businesses. And that is why if you see, our asset turn has now started improving, because all these facilities are now started production and now we are reaching these scales. And I mean, still we are at a very low level, but I think in the next 2 years, we are really hoping that these numbers should also improve.
So for now, because we are starting new facilities, there is slew of new product launches, the margins should stabilize at these level, or you expect some more correction before you start moving up again?
So see, the margins, see, now once we start, see, we are now a growing company. If you really look at our ROCEs, you know, what we are now assuring is that our ROCs will be upward of 50%. If you see at these current H2 numbers, our ROCs are at about 54-odd%. So, you know, this is going to continue. New plants will come up, you know, which will give lower margins. There will be old plants which will start, you know, being at optimum capacities. So this is a mix, you know, and in a growing organization, this will always happen. Because, you know, we want to keep growing. Now, if we grew at about 64% on 62% on year-on-year basis, you know, so if you want us, I mean, if we are going to come up with new facilities, if we are, see, there will be new complexities. I'm not saying that Chinese are going to, you know, are going to just be there. I'm sure they would also play around. They might want to reduce prices, and we have to deal with it. And that is what the competition is going to play around. You know, nobody is going to just give me very easily, but we have to compete only on technology, which we are very, on a longer term perspective.
Got it. I have two more questions, if you allow me.
Please, always.
Yeah, one is on China. We thought last quarter it was one off because of lockdown, but I think that 32% is still around. Is it cautious choice of diversifying more and limiting the sales there, or you can see that bottleneck has completely gone off and we are still willing to completely normalize the sales in China?
No, I have not understood your question. Can you please repeat the question?
China segment, we used to 40% earlier, right? 40% of our exports used to be China.
Absolutely.
Now it is 32%, right? And last quarter you made a comment it came to 32% because of the lockdown and the various other impacts.
Right.
Even in this quarter, I think we are at the same level, right? 32%. It has not shown improvement while China has come out of the lockdown.
Absolutely.
My question is, it is a cautious choice by the company to see that we diversify more into a non-Chinese market, or China market has still not normalized. So what's happening on the China side?
Two things. Abhi, now what is happening is our newer products which are coming, which are not currently being exported to China. Now when these health series come up, it will be predominantly Indian business to begin with. So kya hoga? This 32% maybe in the next 2-3 quarters will further reduce. And our Indian market...
I got it. It's a mix change which is impacting the geographical mix, and this will only be in favor of more India now going onwards?
Abhi, this HAL 770 is very Indian focused. But when our subsidiary starts, again we will have a very big export opportunity. So each switch will keep happening. But yes, now the concentration, see what has used to happen is, Sangesh, people used to look at us as a very two product or a three product company. With this HALS coming in, you know, it is going to open up a variety of chemistries, variety of markets, variety of segments which we'll be entering. You know, so it is also kind of de-risking ourselves from our flagship products.
Okay. One last question. Now, kind of taking from what you said in the previous answer, what does this 300 crores align to? I mean, what are the products are we planning up in this subsidiary? Will it have MEHQ, Gayakor, or it will be a completely new set of products?
All new. See, Pella Udana, because it's a new facility, it's a 34-acre facility. First 100 odd crores is only going into building, you know, common facilities like a utility block, an admin block, and QC block, an R&D block, and an ETP facility, overall landscaping, you know. Agla, uska baad jo 200 crore, it is all going into building these health facilities. Now what happens is, after this health, when we are coming up with a new product, then the expense or the capex is only going into building that particular plant, which will be far lower than doing the entire facility again.
Okay. And that entire 200 crore will be health?
Health. So the numbers are, see, 770 will further expand. 770, 622, 944, 119, 2020, and blends. So this we will have the entire series of the product.
No, because we haven't launched the product while we are already planning a very big expansion. Are we very confident of having HALS a very successful portfolio for us? Will that be a right assumption?
Sir, business mein, sir, if I have to take chances, right? What I can...
No, I completely agree. It's a calculated risk, right?
Yeah.
I know you would know. You would have talked to certain customers. You would have sent samples. You would have done checks before taking such a big decision, right? So, just wanted to understand what is giving you this confidence.
See, the confidence...
I'm not doubting it. I completely agree that entrepreneur has to take the risk. I'm thinking that you have taken a calculated risk. What is giving you that confidence?
See, number one is 770, these two products will start in November. Our next facilities are only going to start after a year. So, this 1 year, we are going to learn a lot about this business. You know, we are going to understand the normal nuances of this business, which we can incorporate going forward. And you know, the advantage of in this is, if you just make one product, like a 770, an overall big distributor or a big customer is not really keen to look at you because he's buying seven products more from BSF or a Chinese or whoever. If you have the entire basket, you become more interesting as a strategic player.
Okay.
So a series is the best thing to do, and also these chemistries are very complicated. So because we have mastered this chemistry, it is good to get into this and we can get the first mover advantage being located in India. Now people are all talking about China plus one, and if these Europe energy crisis continue, we are in a very beautiful sweet spot. So I don't want to lose out on waiting for 2 years and see how the market pans out. And the best part is, since it is all from internal accruals, we can take a little bit more risk compared to leveraging our balance sheet.
Fair enough, fair enough. Thanks, Siddharth, for patiently answering all the questions, and best of luck for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Siddharth. So, you know, continuing with HALS, how power intensive are these products, or does it vary from, you know, a different, you know, product within the HALS series?
See, HALS, there are products which are two-step, there are products which are seven-step. The more the number of steps, the more is the power and energy utilized in each step.
Sure.
So,
and
a product like a 944 or a 200 will be far more power intensive compared to a 770.
Fair enough. And will be fair to presume that higher the number of steps, higher the complexity, and higher the margins on that product?
And higher the margins, of course. So like, if a smaller 770 is about $7, a 2020 is a $20 to $22 product.
Okay. Now, you know, the relevant question and where I was coming from was, now, you know, given the energy crisis in Europe and where, you know, BASF is the largest, probably, you know, the most of the manufacturing of HALS is also done there. Does it also open up, you know, a big market for you, even from a price competitiveness perspective?
Absolutely. I mean, second is, as I was mentioning, with dollar also turning 83, 84, plus the biggest thing what happens is, even see these master batches, for instance, these customers are also, some are small, some are large. With us being in India, people can now have just in time. Whereas when in compared to a Europe or a China, where they have to maintain stocks beforehand because of the complexity of these geopolitical tension and these sea freights, which was also a very big issue. So this will give us a very big advantage because we are very strategically located.
Sure, but the initial ramp up of, you know, 770 and the other products will be India focused, and then probably with the new capacity coming in, let's say 12 months out, the focus will be probably equally in India as well as abroad. Is that fair understanding?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the products are very big in Europe and North America.
Sure, and the distribution network to reach all these clients will be similar to what we are, or work is already in progress for those?
Work is already in progress. Some would be new, some would be old. So it all depends on how interested they are. And once we launch this, then it will give a lot of confidence also to distributors to, because see, when you are only talking ki do saal baad aayega types, you know, when that the product will come after 2 years, the interest is very low. When you tell them, okay, one has come, few are coming away, you know, along the line, that gives them a lot of interest.
Fair enough. Cool. On the demand outlook side, you know, given the slowdown that we are seeing in Europe and probably even China, you know, how are things on the ground, you know, across our existing as well as maybe HALS as a product range?
The Q3 would be little small, little soft.
Sorry to interrupt you. So we have lost your audio. Sorry, sir. So you'll repeat. You'll have to repeat the answer because we lost your audio in between.
Okay. See, Q3 is always a little softer because everybody in US, Europe, China, they are managing their inventory. So all the orderings become slow, plus the holiday seasons in these countries. So the demand again rises up in Q4. So this is a very general trend we have seen over the past several years.
Okay, fair enough. Another question on the competitive intensity. I recollect, you know, you earlier mentioning that you have not been as aggressive in terms of passing through the RM inflation and trying to focus more on the market share gains. How will be the pricing gap now, and have we taken any pricing increase, you know, now?
Now the new contracts will start happening now in the month of November, a little bit in October, some in November. And now what is happening is people are also getting cautious because the prices of raw material everybody sees will come down. Freight prices have come down already. So everybody is a little cautious of booking the next year. So we are also trying to see how all this is going to happen. Plus the currency's movement has happened dramatically over the past 4 to 6 weeks time.
So will the industry will be moving more towards shorter term contract rather than longer term, given the volatility?
I don't know that. Some will be still a longer term contract, but today what I am seeing the flavor is people are looking at a half yearly contract, and what has happened is over the past 2 years people feel that it is better to do half yearly or a quarterly rather than the complete annual contract. Some are still doing contracts on annual, but there is still a discussion going around it.
Okay, fair enough. And just last one, if I may, on the margins front here, the Q1Q improvement that we are seeing in the gross margin, is it largely a function of revenue mix here or some bit of pricing benefit?
So it is mix of both. I will let Pratik answer this on minor details.
Yeah. So Ankur, there are three factors being here. First is the product mix. Second is also the realizations have improved across four flagship products, which is NHQ, Goicol, BHA, and OMAP. And third is, of course, that we have also got benefited from the softer raw material prices.
Okay, sure enough. And given the pricing trend being downwards, probably this number should be a base case going ahead.
Yes, depends on the product mix also. As he mentioned that Q3, we are also launching a couple of new products. So what percentage of revenue they form, that will also have a bearing on the margin.
Sure. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Jay Shah from Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Hi. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers. I just want to know that how do we first, when we are looking for a product or a new chemistry, what is the process that the team generally follows? Do we look at the industry and, you know, maybe the export-import data and the customer requirement? Like, what are the factors that help you decide in on a particular chemistry or a particular product?
So, sir, this is a very generalized question. And the answer is it really depends on chemistry, it depends on market situation, it depends on import statistics and a variety of factors where we decide what products we have to work on.
Okay. And so for that, then apart from HALS, can you tell us that, you know, what are some other chemistries or not obviously products, but what are some chemistries that we are looking at? Or
we are looking at pharma intermediates. We are looking at interesting agro intermediates and also expanding our performance chemical base.
Okay. So when you say agro intermediates, is it because, you know, there is a lot of China plus one and Europe plus one playing out that is, you know, helping us attain some traction? Is that why one of the reasons that we are focusing on that particular segment, or is just that we see a good void that we can fill up because of our chemistry?
I'm not looking at any Europe plus one strategy. I don't understand Europe plus one strategy. But what I am looking at is these are some of the molecules which would be on a longer term sustainable basis.
Okay. Okay. And this is basically because most of our capacities are fungible. Is why what helps us attain the sustainability in this molecule?
No, we don't have any fungible capacities. We are generally, we like to have dedicated plants for dedicated products. And that is how the phenomena will be going forward as well.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. All the best and happy Diwali to you and the team.
This is it.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Samir Gilani, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Hi, Siddharth. Siddharth, my question is more to do on your comment last time you made on PBQ. You had mentioned we were at 30-40 tons a month. Where are we on that product, if you could maybe give us some indication there? And is it fair to assume that over the course of time, we would probably be able to meet the entire import of this product from for India?
So we have expanded the capacity. We've doubled the capacities to about 70 to 80 tons a month. And I think Indian demand is closer to 70 to 80 tons a month. But of course, the switch does not happen easily. People still want to keep Chinese as the second source. So that switch and that confidence for these customers will take over the period of time. So as and when the confidence starts building, as and when the customer gets more and more confident about our supply position, that is the time when we will see 70% of the switch happening to us. It will never be a 100% switch because no purchaser likes to depend on any company on a 100% basis.
Yeah, fair enough. But is it fair to assume that we will be able to charge close to $30 on that product even as we scale up, or we are going to get a lower product price for that?
See, PBQ is a product which is dependent on raw material prices. Now, these raw material prices have come down, so the PBQ prices will also come down. So the prices which were at about $30, today is about $16. And we are following the market trend.
Fair. Is it fair to assume, Siddharth, that once PBQ scales up, I mean, now, let's say, when the customers take the offtake, we should probably clock 100, 150 crores from this product?
Not 150, but probably now it is not a $30 product. If you assume, say, safely $15 into 70 ton, whatever that number is, would be the safe assumption on that product.
Okay, that's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please enter star and one on your phone now. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. For this 300 crore capex, what can be the typical asset terms?
Typically, we are 2.7 to 3 is the asset term.
Okay, sir. That's it from us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have the next question from the line of Sujit Luda from Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, boss.
Yeah. Sir, just one question regarding this new facility where you've done a Bhumi Pujan and which has been recently started work. What proportion of the land will be used for this health capacity, the capacity which are spending about 300 crores? What percentage of the land will be used for that?
See, I think the overall facility can have about 11, 12 plants. Health would be about less than 4 or 5 plants. So we still have a lot of space for growth.
Okay. So roughly about 1/3 of the land would be used for this.
Yeah, you can easily assume that. But only advantage now is after we have done the initial groundwork, the next plants will come in less than 9 months or 10 months time for us. So the ramp up will be far quicker for the new facilities or the new products, I mean.
Hello.
Hello.
Is there a problem from my side? I'm not able to hear.
Yes, probably. You can call back from an alternate number because we were able to hear the management members. Sure. In the meanwhile, we'll move to the next question from the line of Mukul Jain, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. And sorry if my question is very basic. The company has catalytic technology, and my worry is, and sure, the company would also be worrying, what if this technology is leaked outside? So basically, what precautions the management have taken to protect this technology? Who have access to this technology? Are they the scientists or the management? Something insights if you would give on this.
Basically, these are very, very complicated technologies. Building catalysts, we are fully backward integrated, forward integrated. The chemicals, some of the chemicals still come in coated form. And, it is customer acquisition, the validation of each product sometimes take close to 3 years, 4 years. So it's a very long drawn process, and we have been able to reach here in 17 years. So it's not very easy for somebody to just copy these technologies.
Yeah, right, sir. But maybe others won't be able to copy, but somebody from inside might leak them. Is it possible, something like this?
See, there is anything possible, but the chances are quite remote because not one person is aware of entire portfolio of products. Like a person who is working in catalyst division would not know what is happening on plant scale. A person using the catalyst does not know what is happening with the regeneration of catalyst. the person who is working on one of the line does not is not aware of how the raw material is being produced. So, you know, there is variety of things happening. So it is not easy for a set of people to just pass on these technologies.
Okay, so that is very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference. Sorry, we do have two questions in the queue now. We have Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is, as you mentioned that we have optimized the process for our flagship products over a period of time. So how much time do we expect to, you know, optimize our HAL series? You know, in terms of being at optimal level of margins over a two-year period, three-year period? Thank you.
So typically how it happens is, you know, year one, we are typically, you know, validation happens, customer has to understand us, understand our product. So the first year is typically a little slower compared to the balance, you know. So first year would be a 20 to 30% capacity utilization. I mean, in case of HAL, we are expecting a little bit more higher. And then the ramp-up happens over the period of time.
Right, right. So maybe by second year end or early third year, we'll be able to have optimum utilization, and that time the margins will reflect the correct picture.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Right. And second thing is, for the newer set of products, normally, what is the benchmark that we are using? So is it like import substitute, some kind of a, you know, return profile or a margin profile that we are looking at?
See, we first look at very interesting chemistries. We want to be in segments where there are not too many people. So we like that space. And of course, we are into particular segments like a performance chemical or an intermediate for pharma, agro. So we like to stick to this space, to stick to chemistries where we can make some impact and make some better margins than our competitors.
Right, right. Got it. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir, and Diwali wishes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Siddharthji, Pratikji. Thank you for taking my question. I have just one question about the health global tonnage. So I remember, I think you told, I think in the last call that 770, it's about a 2,000 ton import in India. So could you please help us with tonnages, global tonnages of 701 and 770, if you have it handy?
Typically, I think the import of 770 is close to 3,000 ton in India. Our installed capacity is 2,000 tons. So there is a big headroom and for us to supply only in India market.
Okay. I mean, and the global tonnages, do you have it handy for them?
Globally, I think, I mean, not, I don't have handy, but I can tell you that these products are upwards of 12 to 13,000 ton capacities. Overall, health as a segment is a 1.2 billion market and growing at about 7 to 8% CAGR.
Yeah, understood, understood. And I think one last follow-up, if I may. So on this 770, 701, who would be our customers domestically? I mean, just to understand the usage, would be like, let's say,
so 770 would be companies like Plastiblends, Alok Industries, who are into master batches. And for 701, it would be customers who will be using it for, say, water treatment chemicals like a GE or a Suez Chemicals. So these are some of the customers you would have. And also 701 has some pharma usage.
Understood, understood. Siddharthji, thank you so much for answering my questions and I wish you a very happy Diwali.
Wish you the same, sir.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
So thank you so much for taking time out and I would want to wish all our listeners a very, very happy Diwali and safe Diwali. And thank you so much from my side.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.